B-Pod Studios.
Every sport has its network. If you're willing to pay for it, Boston has the sports hub that brings you the Pats, the Bruins, the Celts, and the Reds from preseason to the final second for free. Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the sports hub. This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak cuts through the middle. Right circle, it's fired. They score! The legend of Bergeron continues in double overtime. Bergeron wins it for the Bruins. 4-3 over the Hurricanes. And the Bruins take a one game lead in this best of seven opening round matchup.
Judd Zerat on the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, your home for the Bruins. Hour number four of Felger and Mazz. It's the 4 o'clock hour. We've only been on for two plus because this thing went double overtime. But I'll tell you what, Mazz, if you close your eyes and forget about the last 4 months, that felt kind of real, didn't it?
Totally. I said that to Murray during I came in early because the studio was empty, so I didn't want to be in my car when, when the third period was on. So I came in to watch the whole thing here, and when Murray came in, I said, that felt like a real sporting event. Like, and it's just it's a testament to the NHL playoffs. A, how the players approach it. You know, B, the whole product, the bubble, you know, the whole thing has worked up there so far. But this, that felt like a real game. I feel like we're in, you know, May. That's what I feel like.
I thought the product as a whole has been awesome. You know, even the round robin games, except for the Bruins round robin games. I think overall it's been a great watch. I don't miss the fans at all. It looks, it sounds great. It feels like the real thing.
I mean, the way that sounds. You know, and credit to Howie Sylvester and Judd and all of our engineers and the mixing, and maybe even I got to give a little head nod to the fake crowd noise, which, again, I don't love. But that whole thing right there, that could have been, I don't know if that's the Garden, but that's, I don't know. That sounded real to me.
Totally. Yeah, and I'll tell you, it reassures me that the players are taking the playoffs seriously. Like, you just wonder if maybe they're distracted or whatever else. They're out of body experience. The whole routine's different. How's it going to affect it? No fans in the stands. That was a real playoff hockey game to me today. That's what that thing was, and I'm willing to bet you're going to see a similar thing with the NBA.
Well, look at the reactions. You know, so Bergeron today and Braden Point last night, like, they're pumped up. Like, that's what you would normally see.
Totally. And even the one you talked about on Friday, the comeback for the Leafs.
Oh, my God. Those reactions were great.
Oh, they were going bananas. I mean, absolutely crazy. You know, three goals in the final 5 minutes or whatever the hell it was to tie the game. And they were into it, man. They were. They're invested. The players are pouring their hearts into it just like they always do.
I would just say, in general, the NHL and the NBA are pulling it off.
Yep.
I mean, I would just say, not that it's perfect or that everything, I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm just saying, is this thing working? And are they pulling it off? And the answer is yes. I mean, I think basketball, I felt that way about basketball for a while. And the NHL, too. Even though they allowed a hockey game to go five flipping overtimes last night. Take your thoughts on that and everything else. How about Jack in Chelmsford? He leads us off this hour. Jimmy, if you could pop up Jack in Chelmsford on line three. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, this is Adam in Nashville.
Okay, sorry, Adam in Nashville. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Felger, your brain has been infected by some millennial short attention span virus. You can't make it through anything. If you were sports commissioner, you would have been fired today for saying, let's take a page out of soccer's book. Soccer! You've talked more about taking a page out of soccer than you've ever even talked about soccer. You guys are on for 4 hours. You know what everyone does when you start repeating yourself? We stop listening, yet somehow you're still on the air. So shut the hell up, watch the damn games, and if you can't quite do it because you're sleepy, start covering soccer, you millennial-minded wuss.
Okay, so there's just so many things wrong about that call. I mean, the tone was good and the landline was good and all that. I'm 51 years old, so I'm not a millennial. Two, as some of our listeners will tell you, unfortunately, as far as they're concerned, we do talk soccer. I do cover soccer. Okay, so on that. What was the thing? I wasn't sleepy last night. It wasn't like it was a late night because that was an early start, right? Wasn't that
a 3 o'clock game?
Yeah, it was a 3 o'clock game. It just felt like a late night, but it wasn't. We were done by 10 or whatever the hell that was, you know? So, no, it wasn't like it was a late night. And I do watch the games. I'm just on record as saying, I don't know. I'm just not this sheep that says, oh, five overtime thriller. Isn't this awesome? No, because I actually do watch it, caller. I actually see the quality of play the later the game goes, and I say, this actually isn't that good. The hockey is not that good. The drama I get, but, you know, you can only be on the verge of orgasm for so long, Maz. Like, you know, that lasts for 20 minutes, but if you're sitting at that spot for like 5 hours, at some point it's a diminishing return. You just can't maintain that.
Yep, you know, as they say, poop and get off the pot, really, right? It's what it comes down to. And look, I'd like to educate that guy on talk radio. The reason why we repeat ourselves is because the audience changes every 20 minutes. And unlike an overtime hockey game that goes on and on and on, we get better.
And not only are we still on the air, we're crushing it. So there. Just suck on all of that. Jack in Chelmsford, there he is. Go ahead, Jack. What do you got?
How you doing, Michael?
Good, Jack.
I just wanted to say, the hand pass with the goaltender. All right, so actually I thought Slavin actually batted that down. But even if Richie batted it down, I think it was Bjork that had his stick underneath Mraz's glove. So they weren't going to call that dead, but Mraz did touch it first. Okay?
So
that means that hand pass is wiped out.
So
absolutely,
yeah. So on replay, I think they got it right, Jack. So, like, you know, if you're circumcising the mosquito, I guess. I do not think Bjork's stick was in there first. I don't. I mean, I'll go back and watch it. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I don't feel Bjork's stick beat Mrazek to the puck underneath there. I just think in real time, it felt like there were so many things wrong with it. I mean, it felt like, again, in real time, felt like a pretty obvious hand pass. I think a lot of times the ref's blowing the whistle that puck is frozen, and neither of those things happened. And so maybe the ref, you know, just by the milliseconds actually got it right. I just think you're kind of lucky he got it right, if that makes any sense to you. I think that was a, you know, really questionable goal. That could have gone either way. I mean, that's all I'm telling you.
They caught a break. Usually the whistle blows there. I say usually. How many times have you seen it where the guy blows the whistle and then you say, oh, that was a quick whistle. What'd you do there? When you watch this in retrospect, you said he covered the puck. They should have blown the whistle. The Bruins knocked it out of there. Now, look, good for the Bruins for knocking the puck out. At the same time, if that's Tuukka, you know what I'm saying? Fall on it like it's a grenade. Don't let him get that thing out of there. What the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
Tie the puck up.
Still on the goalie. Mike and Woburn, what do they do in rugby when they're tied after 90 minutes?
They play extras, and they keep playing, and they keep playing until they win.
Dreadful.
It's awesome.
Dreadful.
I swear, last week you're broadcasting from Martha Stewart's backyard. This week you're on Jim Irsay's porch because you're on crack. If I want to see the Stanley Cup, you know, decided by a shootout. Bad overtime hockey is better than the worst shootout, I mean the best shootout you could possibly have.
I disagree.
It makes no sense, Mike. Well, I know you disagree, and you make no sense with your soccer comparison. You know why they go to the shootout in soccer, Mike? Because in soccer, as soon as they go into that overtime period, which they do have overtime in soccer.
Yeah.
They play about 30 minutes of it.
I know.
They lock it down. They lock it down so tight because of the sport that there's absolutely no chance. There's more action at an Amish prom than there is in soccer. There's no way you could compare that to the NHL playoffs. And ruining it I think the shootout has ruined the penalty shot. First of all, it's way less an exciting moment now because we see penalty shots all the time at the end of the regular season. But to ruin the playoffs, we have enough asterisks to this thing as it is.
Okay, Mike, it's personal preference. There's no right or wrong. It's what you like. You like strawberry. I like vanilla. It's one of those things. And oh, by the way. No, I've seen some amazing shootouts, and if you've heard me say this before, then I'll say it again. USA-Russia in the Olympics in, what year was that, 2014?
Was that Oshie?
That was Oshie. That was the Oshie year. And who was the guy that was it Datsuk or was, who's the right, so in the Olympics, you don't have to use every guy, you don't have to pick a different guy, you can use, after the first three, you can use the same guy. And so the U.S. kept going back to Ocean. He kept beating whoever it was, Bobrovsky maybe, on the same move. It was freaking awesome. That was a great shootout. I remember that easily. But so, Mike, would I prefer balls to the wall, back and forth, edge of your seat, overtime hockey versus a shootout? Of course! Of course! I'm just telling you, you get that for about 20 minutes and maybe a little bit of the second overtime, and then it's sort of like soccer. It's this grind, this defensive perimeter grind that a lot of nights you feel is never going to end. So I just want it to end. Call me crazy. Personal preference.
Remember, they played, how many periods was it? Eight.
Eight. Yeah.
They played eight periods last night, and up until the end, they had scored combined four goals.
That's kind of like soccer.
Yes, it totally is. I mean, that's the thing is, it's, you know, it's tough to score. So I like the model of going to the 4-on-4 first and then to a 3-on-3, and I think that'll settle it, especially
sure.
if you start to get heavy legs.
And fine with me.
Game 7 of a series or Stanley Cup final. Oh, it's just a video game is what you've turned it into.
But how ballsy are those 3-on-3s?
Yeah. They've even packed
those
it in on
are
those
entertaining.
Two.
They can. You know, they can get a little conservative. Claude used to play.
Two defensemen.
Yeah, he'd play for the tie on that.
Yeah, he put Carlo and Chara out there.
But in general, those 3-on-3s are great. Mike and Lunenburg on Tuukka Rask. What'd you think of him today?
So two quick things, Felder. You started to see a little bit of bowel movement on the ice today. He got bailed out. Bruins offense bailed him out. He caught a break. But you started to see a little bit of that, and it's only game one. And this is my deal with you. You'll never win a cup with Rask. I got a hernia the size of a grapefruit. I will carry him to whatever airport he wants to go to, any airport in town, because you'll never win a Stanley Cup with Rask. He'll hurt you every time. And when he does, I'm going to call back.
Okay, let me know. I've said he's going to come through this year if you get to that spot. I don't think this was crapping today by Tuukka. I think he's rusty. I don't think he put in any work during the pandemic. I think he came back and had all sorts of little nicky-nacky things that he gave into, and he, you know, pressed the cough button on the phone and stepped on his finger doing effing Bach jumps and whatever. Like, so I just think he's – we're not there yet where he's at a point to drop a deuce in his shorts. That's coming. Right now it's just – I just think it's Russ Maz and he didn't put in the work.
Yeah, I thought the later the game got, I thought the shakier he got. He didn't look right to me at the end of that game. And so, again, maybe it's just, you know, he hasn't played in a while or whatever, right? You know, but there were times – the only thing I can compare it to is the playoffs last year. He was locked in. No wasted movement, had everything bottled up. He was dynamite, and he was not there today. So I'm not telling you he sucked today. I don't think he was awful, but there were a couple of goals there that I think if he's playing at the level he played last spring – he gets those. The first and the third goals, he gets.
More your Bruins and hockey thoughts at 617-779-0985 right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Every sport has its network, if you're willing to pay for it. Boston has the Sports Hub that brings you the Pats, the Bruins, the Celts, and the Revs. From preseason to the final second for free, Boston's home for sports is 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger.
Felg Stradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pasternak cuts through the middle. Right circle, it's fired. They score! The legend of Bergeron continues in double overtime. Bergeron wins it for the Bruins. 4-3 over the Hurricanes. And the Bruins take a one game lead in this best of seven opening round matchup.
Judd Surratt on the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, your home for the Bruins. Hour number four of Felger and Mazz. It's the 4 o'clock hour. We've only been on for two plus because this thing went double overtime. But I'll tell you what, Mazz, if you close your eyes and forget about the last 4 months, That felt kind of real, didn't it?
Totally. I said that to Murray during the, I came in early because the studio was empty, so I didn't want to be in my car when, you know, when the third period was on. So I came in to watch the whole thing here, and when Murray came in, I said, that felt like a real sporting event. Like, and it's just it's a testament to the NHL playoffs. A, how the players approach it, you know. B, the whole product, the bubble, you know, the whole thing has worked up there so far. But this, that felt like a real game. I feel like we're in, you know, May. That's what I feel like.
I thought the product as a whole has been awesome. The only, even the round robin games, except for the Bruins round robin games. I think overall it's been a great watch. I don't miss the fans at all. It looks, it sounds great. It feels like the real thing.
I mean, the way that sounds. You know, and credit to Howie Sylvester and Judd and all of our engineers and the mixing, and maybe even I got to give a little head nod to the fake crowd noise, which, again, I don't love. But that whole thing right there, that could have been, I don't know if that's the Garden, but that's, I don't know, that sounded real to me.
Totally. Yeah, and I'll tell you, it also, it reassures me that the players are taking the playoffs seriously. Like, you just wonder if maybe they're distracted or whatever else. They're out of body experience. The whole routine's different. How's it going to affect it? No fans in the stands. That was a real playoff hockey game to me today. That's what that thing was, and I'm willing to bet you're going to see a similar thing with the NBA.
Well, look at the reactions. You know, so Bergeron today and Braden Point last night, like, there wasn't. They're pumped up. Like, that's what you would normally see.
Totally. And even the Mike, the one you talked about on Friday, the comeback for the Leafs.
Oh, my God. Those reactions were great.
Oh, they were going bananas. I mean, absolutely.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Butch, I thought Tuukka had a pretty easy time through the first three periods anyway. I'm wondering how double OT impacts whether you go with him again tomorrow. And what did you think of his game?
Well, we'll talk about tomorrow. Tonight, we'll let everyone kind of enjoy this one. Overtime, they had one off net chance, Svechnikov down the wing. So the one thing about today's game, there wasn't a lot of taxing stretches in our own end where, you know, goalies will fatigue and dehydrate. Penalty kill was pretty solid in that regard. Didn't get stuck a lot in our end. So that is a big factor on, you know, the recovery of Tuukka. 12 o'clock start. Don't forget, a lot of the back-to-back games, Kevin, specifically with us and well, everybody, is you're traveling and you're getting a poor night's sleep and an early morning. So those won't be the case in this particular back-to-back. Everyone should sleep well tonight, get some rest. So there's that consideration too. So you got two things that, you know, can tilt towards Tuukka getting a back-to-back start. I'm not saying that's going to happen because the conversation needs to be had with him and goalie Bob. And if we feel Yarrow gives us the best chance to win, we'll certainly go that route. His game tonight was fine. I thought the first goal was a bomb. It just squeaked to him. We had a breakdown. The last one's one, obviously, when you got a lead, but, you know, obviously something happened there, a flash screen, because he's going to stop that one. There's a bit of a breakdown where we didn't get the block, but at the end of the day, there wasn't a whole lot of grade A's. So, you know, certainly Mrazek was the busier guy, made more high-end stops, but that doesn't mean Tuukka didn't play well.
All right, so that was the Cassidy cut I was talking about. There's, I don't know, if you're judging tonality, he said a bunch of things that would lead you to believe Rask is back in there tomorrow night. Now, he
yes.
says he didn't have a lot of flurries, didn't have a lot of those high-pressure situations where he was, you know, challenged for a long period of time. The 12 p.m. start was really 11 a.m. start. You know, not typical back-to-back. You're not traveling, it's a bad night in a hotel room, blah, blah, blah. Like, he made it sound like Rask is the guy tomorrow.
Yeah, well, he certainly made it sound like they want him to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
And so now maybe Rask goes to them and says, you know, I'd rather have the day. In which case, like, I'll say this, if Rask doesn't play, after hearing Cassidy, if Rask doesn't play, I think it's going to be on Rask.
Yep.
Because it sounds to me like Cassidy said, no,
I think you guys are crazy. Did that sound like a ringing endorsement to you?
No, well, not that he played well. I thought he actually said he was. I think the quote was he was fine.
Yeah, he was fine.
Right. Yeah, which is like he was fine.
The most passive aggressive word in the English language.
No. So I agree that he wasn't, you know, heaping praise on the way he played today, Murray. But I thought the tonality was there that he could be able to go tomorrow. Should be able to go tomorrow.
I mean, what did Carolina have after two periods? 9 shots,
something like that.
Right. So the first two periods, Tuukka barely had to do anything. And so I mean, to me, it sounds like Cassidy's leaning towards playing him. Cassidy wants to play him. If Tuukka doesn't play, it's because Tuukka said, you know what, I need the blow.
Or we'll make it so. Back to your thoughts, yeah, Josh, right, exactly. Josh and Haverhill. Go ahead, you're up next.
Yeah, how many times do we actually get to a point where we're talking about the next day? They're blowing this whistle dead. They're always blowing it dead. And then we watch the game today, and they don't blow it.
Right.
And then we're arguing about it 2 hours later. We're saying, well, you know, should they have blown it? Should they have not? But in this case, probably like any other time that they shouldn't have blown the whistle, they end up capitalizing and scoring a goal.
So what's your point?
You can't have it both ways.
What do you mean? They caught a break.
They did. It's not a break. It was called correctly. And
it was a break.
Lot of times what ends up happening, huh?
It was a break. They could, a lot of refs blow that whistle dead.
Oh, boy. It's starting to spread.
What, you just can't take the fact you got a good break? That was a bang-bang play. It could have gone either way. Do you agree? Could have gone either way. So it went your way. Thus, it's a break. Does that mean, do you now think we're calling your team sucky?
Lucky.
Sucky? A lucky?
Lucky
and
sucky.
Is that what we're saying? You caught a break. And you took advantage of it? I'm sorry. My grandmother with the two artificial hips could have put that puck in the net. I love Charlie Coy. I'd love to give him credit for that. He put it into an empty, gaping, freaking hole. Anyone could have done that. That's not taking advantage of a break. He was gifted a goal.
You guys can't have it both ways.
There's nothing worse than a soft, Sally Bruins fan. Nothing worse. I don't accept it with the Patriots experience. That's the way Patriots fans are. It's now in the blood. I fully expect those folks and the Green Teamers. Don't even get me started. You could win nothing and get 10-year contract extensions like the coach today. Like, that's just the way that, and you people never have a bad day. Bruins fans, I expect it. I like to say a little hair on your balls. Good God.
You guys can't have it both ways.
Oh, yeah, nothing worse than a mealy-mouthed, whiny Bruins fan. John in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John. John, you're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I just got a quick thought on overtime, then some more on Tuukka. With the overtime, they put the whistles away every time, and then you wonder why no one scores. If you give teams power plays, there'll be goals. And the only penalties you end up getting in overtime are rinky-dink little delay of game. Which kind of defeats the purpose of putting the whistle away in the first place.
Yeah, so, I don't want... Look, to get a quicker overtime or goals in overtime, I don't want them suddenly calling it. I don't want them calling a lot of penalties. I don't want that to be the case. Because then you just open it up to this next day about, you called this and you called that. I like that they don't call anything. Which makes me think, how'd you feel about the holding call against Coyle there at the end of the first overtime?
So I'm trying to remember the play now.
Coyle drew a penalty at the end of the first period.
Oh, right. He drew it. Right. I thought you meant he got one.
They should have called that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either. I thought for the overtime it was a little chintzy.
Well, and especially the way that they weren't calling it, because I thought that there was a blatant trip against the Bruins that wasn't called, and then there was a high stick that the Bruins committed against the Hurricanes at the end of that first overtime. And it made no sense for them to call the one that Coyle drew.
So, caller. That was another break.
Oh, why do you got to bring that up?
That you didn't take advantage of because your power play sucks.
It really does.
Yeah, you guys can't have it both ways.
Okay, here's a Bruins fan that I know has a tremendous amount of hair on his balls. In fact, it's probably a problem. Frank the Tank, what'd you think?
Well, listen, Mike, I don't know if you're doing it wrong or whatever, but the orgasm is always worth the wait. I don't know. Maybe you might want
to... No, but how long can you stand there on the... How long can you stand on the verge is what I'm saying, which is what overtime hockey is. You just can't sit there on the precipice for 4 hours.
Yep, it's not just, long, I'll tell you that.
It's not feasible.
Hey, brother, I'll stand there as long as it takes, as long as I get the orgasm, I'm fine. I don't care. It's more hockey and more drinking. That's fine. Look, you know, Rask better play tomorrow night, okay? It wasn't like today was any kind of, you know, strain on him. He better be ready to play tomorrow. That's all. I'm about at my wit's end with him. I want to see some hair on his balls. I want him to come out and, you know, steal a game. That's what I want to see. I want to see him steal a game, and then, you know, we'll go from there and however the playoffs go. But look, the overtime thing, guys, look, I understand. You know, if that game had started at 8 o'clock, you know, and you're sitting there until 2:30 in the morning, you know, and I get it. I understand. But I do not want it to change. As it is right now, I think the shootout sucks. I think it does take away from the game. You know, I don't care. Bring back the tie. It never bothered me in hockey, ever. You cannot go to 4-on-4 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. No, it's got to be the 5-on-5. It's got to be all those guys bleeding, sweating, crying, wanting to kill one another. That's the way it's got to be. It's the way that we've always played it. It should never, ever change.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I appreciate your feelings. Like, that's how you feel about it, so I get it. But one of your rationales should not be that that's the way it's always been. You know, baseball is what it's always been.
Yep.
And that's why it sucks. And it's actually changed for the worst. It's evolved to the worst, but they haven't changed any rules. And that's a big problem. So just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it's good or the right thing or whatever. But it's whatever you like. I really think the people, you know, like that, really like it in hindsight, you know, after the fact. Boy, wasn't that epic last night? Isn't that great that Seth Jones played 64 minutes? And isn't that, like, he stopped 85 pucks? And, wow, that was so cool. That was epic. Did you actually sit and watch it? I mean, because if you did, you have calluses on your ass. Like, your feet are asleep.
I didn't have nothing going on last night. I don't give a rat's ass about either of those teams. And I was strapped in for it. I liked it because I wanted to see what freaky way it was going to end. And it didn't. It wasn't like some weird ricochet goal. That point goal was... you know, that was excellent, but...
Oh, that was kind of, I don't know, that shot was, it was like highlight, the way he whipped that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was... that
like,
you
a lacrosse, like a lacrosse
goal. Yeah, it was lacrosse or highlight is the way he shot that. It was a little fluky, but I know what you mean, Murray. Did you sit through all 6 hours and 13 minutes?
Not all of it, but no, the last few, I loved it. I, you know, because I like, because it doesn't happen as much as you think, like a 5-overtime game like that. Again, it's the fourth longest game in Stanley Cup playoff history. The last time something like that happened was 20 years ago.
So I'm telling you, I'm with Mike on this one. I am. I'm with Mike on this. Is like you come back from a family vacation, right? And then you look at the pictures and you go, "Oh yeah, that was a fun trip." Except that while you were going through it, it sucked.
You're tearing your hair out.
It sucked. It was awful. All you did was fight and get on each other's nerves the whole time. But the pictures make it look like a good time. So then it's what you do with the box score. You look at the box score. Oh wow, that guy played 64 minutes. Well, that's the pictures from the trip. But while you're there, you're ready to punch each other in the face.
You guys aren't vacationing the right way. Maybe it's the kids thing. It mostly should be just drinking and doing.
Okay, one final segment of your wonderful phone calls. The Bruins, where they stand, today's action, the series, and your thoughts on 5 overtimes in Stanley Cup playoff hockey. After Big Jim Murray's update, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. They say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the third longest game in Tampa Bay Lightning history. The longest May of 2003 against New Jersey. We're 11 minutes and 12 seconds away from that.
Yeah, I know this is sacrilegious to some people, but I think they should find a way to end this, whether it's reducing the number of skaters on the ice or going to a shootout eventually. I think Keith is right that people start to lose interest. If this was at a 7:30, 8 o'clock game, they'd be turning off the channel and going to bed. Plus, it reduces the quality of play going forward for both of these teams. And you mentioned 4 out of 6 nights for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's pretty tough to recover from that.
So Milbury's right, and Milbury said it on the broadcast. Good for him. That was going into the third overtime, never mind the fifth. Today, when they came on the broadcast, I watched the NBC feed. He said last night was tedious. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I mean, he didn't say the whole game was tedious, but he said, you know, the deeper you got into it, it was tedious, and they played on the perimeter, and it was hard to get inside, and that's, you know, generally the way that it goes. So it's sitting around 6 hours to watch a bouncing puck go into the net, which is not exactly what happened last night, but kind of. That was a slingshot, weird sort of shot that won it. But either way, your thoughts on the benefits of five overtimes in hockey, should they even have it? Stanley and Lemonster. Go ahead, Stanley.
Michael Felger, I am shocked at you, and I tried to Google comments from you, and I can't find them. But when that Chastain chick won the World Cup for USA way back when and ripped their shirt off, you didn't find that anticlimactic that she,
that
she kicked against a helpless goalie?
Oh, no, great moment. Great moment.
It's a great moment instead of finish the game, two teams playing one another hard and going at it, and let's kick against an easy goal. I could have scored.
No, I mean, you know, but then in soccer, it's different. Like, when you choke it, like, that's the moment. What was the World Cup in the 90s where the guy from Italy chucked it, or was it Brazil, chucked it over the crossbar? Do you remember this? There was a big miss in a penalty kick final in the World Cup in the 90s. I can't remember what it is. But either way, yeah. And so, shocker, Murray, that chick scores a goal and she takes her shirt off, and Maz loved the moment.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. He's got that poster.
I mean, you make it sound like, you know, she was flashing to the world. Yeah, she had a sports bra on. It wasn't that big a deal. But the moment was awesome.
Yeah, so what? Would I rather watch that or watch the gals kick the ball around for another 2 hours trying to figure it out? Go to the kicks.
See, but you know what? The caller defeats his own point. He remembers it, doesn't he?
Sure does.
He remembers it because it was a big moment. So, like, you know, tell me how many other women's soccer moments you remember.
Well, Robin Hopkinton, go ahead, Robbie. And you can get back to that with that question, folks. Women's soccer moment, great women's soccer moments in your memory. What are they? Robin Hopkinton, go.
Okay, the Coyle goal. If you put that goal in the Tampa-Columbus game late in the overtime, how would you feel if the officials called that goal back or blew the whistle?
So I tell you, it's a good question.
If they blew the whistle, I don't think people. So this is a good way to judge it, Rob, to know that you got a break. If they blew the whistle in real time, I don't think Bruins fans would be complaining. I mean, they might get agitated if the play carried on and the puck found its way to Coyle and he put it in the empty net. You'd be like, oh, we could have had a goal there. But if the ref blew it in real time right then and there, would there be much second guessing?
No, in fact, I thought he should have blown it. At the end of the day, Mrazek had his glove over the puck. Like, once that happens, usually you get a whistle. This is why the Bruins caught a little bit of a break there.
It's a break. It could have gone either way, so it went your way. Thus, a break. It's unbelievable, the sensitivity to this. Joe in Scituate. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
What do you got?
I wanted to talk to you for a minute about, I'm all for the no call. I think it was a great decision. You know, especially since this whole pandemic has pressed the reset button with all sports. I mean, I found myself watching professional cornhole on TV because there was nothing on. And now you finally got the chance with all these sports starting back up. You got to bring something to the fans that aren't diehard hockey fans. You got to keep the action up. You're calling everything a whistle. You keep blowing the whistle. People are going to switch over and start watching basketball. I mean, I love hockey for everything everything it offers. But if you're going to play on the play the big picture here, you got to bring something to fans that don't know hockey.
Joe, let me stop you. So, Maz, what he's saying is that in the best interest of the sport, in the broad reach of the sport, to bring in casual fans and young kids, they made the right decision in not blowing the whistle with his hand on the puck.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that all went through their heads while they were out there, you know, calling the game.
What about the kids, the refs were thinking?
Look, here's my only point. I said this earlier, and I'll keep saying it because I believe it. Usually on that play, how many times have you seen a play where they blow the whistle, then the puck squirts free, and someone throws it in the net, and you say, that's not going to count. I heard the whistle.
Right.
Right, and maybe they blew it too early, but that's what the complaint usually is, that they blew the whistle too early. In this case, they didn't blow it at all, and that's why I thought the Bruins were in good standing when they went to the review, because they said there was no whistle. It never happened. And so if there's no whistle, you keep playing, and if the puck comes out, that's the goalie's problem. The Bruins got lucky there.
I'd say at least 50% of the time the whistle's getting blown. Whether it should or not is another question. If you think the ref should allow a little more scrum down there, then fine. But you know, if you watch enough hockey, you know that the goalie puts his glove on the puck like that, they usually blow it. 617-779-0985. Couple more minutes for your phone calls. You want to get it in. Now's the time to do it. Mike and Southie on Charlie McAvoy. What do you think of him, Mike?
Yeah, I thought he was jumping off the screen. I mean, easily the best player for either team in the game. He broke the puck out every single time, it seemed like. He was grabbing pucks out of both corners. I mean, Big Z got to watch out where he's throwing his body around. He almost knocked him out of the game.
So, a good player. Char holds him back. Char holds him back, and I think you're seeing it by the matchup. They, you know, the Christian Aho line is the big line there in Carolina, and they gave that matchup for the most part to Krug and Carlo because Char is going to get exposed against the speed on that line. So they put McAvoy and Chara on Trocheck and totally rubbed that line out like you didn't see. Like I've talked a lot about Vinny Trocheck. I didn't really notice him a lot in this game. But be that as it may, it's like, well, McAvoy should be this guy. He should be the guy. He should be the guy that draws the top line on the other team. He should be the guy that's on the power play, the penalty kick, and should lead you in minutes. That should be Charlie McAvoy.
And if you look at his ice time today, it was close to 34 minutes.
I was going to ask, do you have it, Murray? Do you have the sheet in front of you?
33:52. It's more than 5 minutes than any other Bruin.
Nice.
Torrey Krug was 28:46. I mean, it just goes to show you that Cassidy wants him out there as much as possible because he is their best defenseman.
Well, and I'll tell you, too, even if you look at it closer, like you say, Chara had 25 minutes, but almost four of that came on penalty kill. So Chara, on even strength time, played 21:35. McAvoy was 29:58, so 30 minutes. I mean, he was out there 8 more minutes than Chara on even strength. So there were times where they were hiding Chara. There's no question about it.
And for another unsung guy, I mentioned him earlier. I thought Joakim Nordstrom was really good. I liked that fourth line. He blocked 5 shots. Like, you know, that's anytime you're out there blocking pucks, like, you're an animal.
Yeah, no, I think that fourth line is generally value add. I know they struggled a little bit last year, but they're generally value add. I'll say it again. Just think if Jeff Wagner were any good. Chris Wagner? What's his name?
Chris Wagner.
I just think if Wagner were any good. I mean, how many chances he gives himself.
Right.
But he's just not very good. Anthony in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Anthony.
Guys, how can anybody complain about extra hockey right now? We just went 3 months without sports due to China virus. I had to watch UFC men fight in their underwear to keep me entertained. Now we've got extra hockey, and I think the Bruins are the best grown men on ice team I've seen. Go Bruins, baby.
Okay, well, there we go. Got the China virus in there, which I think was maybe the point.
Yeah, Felga, I've been waiting months for hockey, and now you're going to cry when they get 5 overtimes?
Yep, I am. Mike and Revere, your thoughts on that?
You're a baby.
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Excellent. You?
Good, thank you. I got a question for you. Do you remember the last preseason game the Bruins played against the Washington Capitals? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think one of the Capitals whacked the puck out of Tuukka Rask's glove and they scored a goal. Do you remember that?
Did he whack it out of his glove? I thought Tuukka dropped it a couple times.
Yeah, he went to tie it up. I think it was, what's his name? The lunatic that plays for them.
Wilson. They...
That guy was great.
The lunatic that plays for... Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he whacked it out of there.
Yeah.
No. Wilson scored on a little floater over Rask's shoulder. You're talking about the TJ Oshie goal where he picked the pocket of Zdeno Chara, not Tuukka Rask. Don't you think that's what he's talking about?
Could be, but Rask never had the puck tied up either time.
Exactly.
Like I honestly don't know what he's getting at. Apples and oranges. The Bruins caught a break. Why are people so sensitive about
this? Isn't it great we struck a nerve with this simple little thing?
Seriously, I'd expect this from Patriots fans.
Celtics fans and the rest of you softies, but Jesus, Bruins fans. Come on.
Wow, seriously, the pandemic cut their nuts off is what had happened.
I've been looking for the actual sound, but what I would implore any of these babies to do is go look up what Rod Brind'Amour said about this after this game. He had a conniption.
Did he? Can we hear it?
I can't find the sound, but I can read you some of the quotes. I mean,
read it.
On the overhead refs, the guys come up to me that aren't putting any sweat equity into this game. They decide the game. It's wrong. He doesn't tell me what the call on the ice is. If it's not a glove hand pass, I would have said okay. Then that's effing goalie interference. The guy comes to me and says it's either goalie interference because he has it and the guy knocked it out of his hand, or it's a glove hand pass. You got to pick one. Either way, it's a no goal. What? You have to tell me what the call is. He's telling me to pick one. Brendan Moore goes on. He comes to me and says, pick one. I'm like, well, if it's one of two, there's absolutely no way that can be a goal. He's putting it on me to pick it. You tell me what you're calling. You're calling he had it? Then it's an effing goalie interference. And he goes on and on. He calls the league a joke. They go upstairs and say, oh, we had a position, possession. It's horse bleep. This is where the league is a joke. He was out of his mind about it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So when you hear that, you got a break. It's pretty obvious.
We're going to get the sound. We'll have fun with that tomorrow. All right. Brian in the car on shootout versus overtime. Go ahead, Brian. You're up next with Felger and Maz.
Hey, thanks. I just think if you watch the goal that was scored in the Lightning game, it was kind of a fluke. Everybody was tired. He kind of ripped it in there. And so I look at that and say, that was kind of a weird, you know, chance way to end the game. Why not do a very controlled setting, high pressure, high stakes scenario? Everyone kind of has an even chance to win the game. Goalie's got to make the save. Playmaker's got to make the play. I just think that if it's going to end in five overtimes on a fluke goal, then why not let it be, you know, a 50-50, these teams are really good, you know?
Preach. That's such a good point. It's like, I want to see it end the real way. Well, the real way is usually some bouncing puck off a guy's shin pad, or the thing last night with the highlight shot, you know, with the puck on edge, or something goofy like that. I'd say a clean breakaway with goalie skater is almost a more pure event than some of these overtime goals.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. They're shooting in a controlled way where everyone has a chance except the Bruins, who suck at the shootout.
Well, this is true.
They blow at it. Oh, no, they suck.
Maybe 3-on-3 is what we're looking for. All right, so no major technical glitches today, Maz, which is too bad. We seem to have them every day with me on location and me not being able to figure out my technology. That will be the subject of a bonus premiere edition of the Fuppets. That's right, midweek Fuppets coming right in your face, coming up next here on Felger and Maz in the Final Word.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices. And great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. All right, so we have fresh Fuppets put together by one Rob Hardy Pool. Hit it, Jimmy.
So I'm not telling you Tuca was great in the series, but I don't think he was the reason they lost.
Okay. I mean, I've told you he's going to come through this year, but I'm starting to waver on that.
The tornado get him?
Yeah, it could be. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I think when you hear that that echoey flange, that means he's dropped off.
Okay, so there you go.
I couldn't understand what he said.
Yeah, he dropped again.
Okay, there we go. All right, so no Mike, so we're going to have to deal with this here in the early part. Our buddy Frank the Tank is in a truck. Frank, what do you got?
All right, well, listen, and he was absolute.
Check two, check two, check two, check two. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello?
Go ahead.
All right, so.
Well, look, I'm
coming up after the update.
Oh, sorry, I'll save it. Go.
No, you go, Maz.
I'm going to save it. Go.
There's something about that, how that was shot, that for whatever reason, that's never looked more like you. Your it's just the headset, the outdoor shot, it looked just like you.
It did. It was pretty realistic.
Great job by Hardy and our production crew. Everyone for putting that together. We'll put that out on our socials. We'll play it again later this week. That pretty much does sum it up. What happens when I'm on location. All right, we have the baseball reporters coming up at 6 o'clock. Maz, what's on the agenda?
Yep, the Bruins are back. The Celtics are about to come back, and the Red Sox still blow. That's really where we're at right now. So I'll tell you, we will. I'll tell you what the good news is with the Red Sox, and we'll touch on a couple things. Andrew Benintendi, in particular, base running exploits. There's also a roster move today that is notable for the Red Sox, and just as importantly, and I think we're going to end up doing a lot of this. The overall, I figured that today is a good day to do it for lots of reasons. I read an interesting story in The Ringer last night, and with playoff hockey coming back, what do you think of the quality of the product for Major League Baseball so far this year? And when I ask you that, I don't mean the Red Sox. I mean the baseball product. I'll give you some numbers that are going to blow your mind as to what's happening on that field.
Okay, Maz is going to blow our mind coming up next. And then we're back at it tomorrow at 2, preview game 2, Bruins Hurricanes, and do some other football stuff that we had to leave to the side today. That's all coming your way tomorrow on Felger and Maz. We'll talk to you then, fellas.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.